Ice spread a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme song,
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John. With me today are two new guests of the pod. They are the hosts of Full Circle Podcast. It's Martha Madrigal and Charles Tyson Jr., everyone. Woo!
Hey.
Hi, hi, hi.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
We were just talking a little bit off air about like how we met. We met like a couple years ago, and I know I sent you a promo for my podcast, so I thank you for airing it. I've gotten those notifications that you've tagged me and things, and I'm always just like, yay, hopefully somebody's listening.
We used it a lot.
Yeah. And we're here today to talk about the 2021 London revival of Anything Goes. I'm going to shock the two of you real quick.
Okay.
I have never seen Anything Goes before, and this is the first time I'm talking about it on my podcast.
Okay.
It was my first time too.
540 plus episodes later, we're talking about Anything Goes, okay. Which is like a standard, right? You would think.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of there. So if you know the music, you know the show.
Yeah.
It's not heavy on the plot.
No.
It's fun, but it's a great showcase for Cole Porter's music.
Yeah. So as you said, music and lyrics are by Cole Porter. The book is by Guy Bolton, P.G. Wodehouse, Howard Lindsay, Russell Krauss. And there's a new book by Timothy Krause and John Wideman. This production was directed by Kathleen Marshall. And according to IMDb, the SS American sets sail. Protocol and convention come to the fore as two unlikely couples embark on the road to true love, aided by a crew of singing sailors, a comic disguise, and something more. So yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And they had to work to get that.
Yeah. Well, so Martha, I'm assuming you're the one who has seen this before.
I have.
Like, not saying this specific production, but Anything Goes as a show before.
I have.
Nice.
And as a high school production, actually. And that my daughter was in, and a million years ago. And I would go to every performance.
Aww.
So, yeah, I was that parent. So I saw it nine times.
Wow. Who did she play?
12 times. Chorus, background.
Ensemble. Know? The ensemble.
Ensemble.
Is amazing. Ensemble.
But, it was a high school where there were vocal scholars. And who, you know, they would always put in their spring musical. It was a girls' high school. And so they would choose the musical based on who was a senior vocal scholar that year. And there were two. So the two leads, the two young women who were leads, Reno Sweeney, another one, were the two scholars. And they were both fabulous. And I want to be Reno Sweeney. I think that's part of my affinity for the whole thing.
We all want to be Reno
kind
Sweeney.
Kind of a whore, but, you know, she can dance and sing. It's fun.
That's pretty much how I was described in my 20s.
There you go.
Because Reno Sweeney is the star of the show. Sutton Foster mm-hmm. plays her. Ethel Merman originated the role.
Yeah.
Where when we got to the titular song, Anything Goes, I was like, I'm just picturing Ethel Merman tapping, and it was a wonderful thought in my brain.
Sure.
I'm not
Eileen
sure if that's
Rogers,
what happened.
Too. Eileen Rogers and Hal Linden were in, I want to say, the 61, 62 production.
62,
and
yeah.
Yeah, and that's the soundtrack you usually find like on Apple Music. It's like those versions of the song.
Yeah, because this premiered in 1934.
Yep.
Which
Makes
My
sense.
God. And then it makes sense that there's so many writers and they've changed a lot. It sounds like over time, or especially like the song order, they've changed it so many times that I was
Oh yeah.
when I sent it to you, I was like, I think this is it. Good luck.
Well, yeah, because it was so weird. Like,
You were saying
you're
like that theme doesn't
fabulous.
go there. That song doesn't go there.
Right. That not where I remember it being. Because there was the cadence, and again, I think that was the version they worked off of, was that like early 60s revival. So that's
Yeah.
the cadence of the show that I'm most familiar with. It is very similar. It's just it starts in a different place and songs are in a different place.
But they're all represented
Yeah, still
throughout.
the great music. It's still fun. It's well told. And these were some really terrific actors.
Yeah, like all of them. There was no dud, I thought. You know,
No.
and going into it, I just really knew like a couple of the songs, the character named Reno Sweeney, and then there's Tap.
And there's Tap.
So realizing that Moonface Martin, the gangster, I didn't expect him to be like a bigger of a role as he was.
Right.
Okay.
Because I thought like him and Irma were just like secondary comic relief. Which I mean, they are comic
Correct.
relief in a comedy.
Right.
I believe, the prominence was because of the actor who was playing the role. Is apparently a big British actor, and so I think I want to say he was featured more probably than I've seen that character featured.
That makes
Okay.
sense.
Yeah, because watching them sing Friendship, I was just like, I don't know what is rehearsed and what is improvised right now.
But
Because
it was so good.
it was so funny. Like
Yeah.
this show is so funny. I didn't
It really is.
I was laughing like when they were in disguise and they shaved the dog to play make a beard. Like it's just and the fact that the dogs are stuffed animals and they shove one of them down their pants, I'm like, what is happening?
And it was like the lowest budget production of Lion King every time the dogs had to bark. Yes.
It was silly. It's silly
They
and it's
loved it.
fun. And
Yeah,
it's a vehicle song. Like, that's what it is.
because all of these, majority of these songs are like classics now, Cole Porter.
Yes.
And so I know the movie The Lovely.
I get out of my head, lady. I was
Yeah,
literally about to say.
because watching this, I'm like, oh, during Blow Gabriel Blow and The Lovely, I'm definitely crying, but in this one, I'm just having a blast.
Well, it was because of DeLovely that I really was able to pay attention to all the innuendo and all of Cole Porter's songs. And it's like, wow, these songs are nasty. If you listen to it right,
That's fair.
you're the
You're
top. I mean,
Yep.
you
Yeah.
heard that. I did too, obviously. But yeah, why not?
But and
But
then
it's fun.
and it seems like they probably changed a lot since 1934, because 1934 theater, they can get away with di saying different things on stage. But watching this one, I was just like, I feel like, what's her name? Irma?
Yes.
I feel like a lot of her stuff was like newer than like the original story, because there's just thinking about like history, American history and everything, where you can't really they couldn't really show a lot of sexual innuendo
Right.
in the 30s, but seeing her come out of a threesome and then having like four other men come out and be like, we love you.
Oh my God. So like at the end of the show, I was like, who is Irma? 'Cause like it's like she was either like Moonface's friend or someone that he met on the ship or that character that everyone expects to show up at every social event or just a wisecracking whore who's everywhere. Like I didn't understand.
Why can't she be both?
And I love whores. I mean, I'm please, that
I
is
mean,
not
get a
derogatory.
girl who could do both. No, I was I she was my favorite character in the entire thing.
She was So funny.
Carly Mercedes Dyer. Like, I went to look her up and I'm like, why does she have so few credits? And it occurred to me, oh, yeah, British actor. So we don't know as much about her as we should.
Right.
Right. And when she sang Buddy Beware, I was just like, I need you in more musicals, or
Yes. Oh.
I need you to play Reno at some point if you're gonna keep with the Anything Goes.
Well, that's the thing I loved about her character. Like, I feel like her character was originally written to be way dumber, I
Yeah.
think, because she was very, very much not dumb. She was smarter than pretty much everybody she interacted with in this production.
Basically, and she used her feminine wiles
Yes. Oh,
to
yeah.
her advantage.
Yeah, she had more, I feel like she had more autonomy in this production, and I appreciated that because that role could easily be problematic. And in this one, it's like, hey, girl, do your thing.
Where when she sang Buddy Beware, do you know Kiss Me Kate, the show at all?
I
So
know of it.
it
I do.
kind of reminded me of Always True to You, where it's a similar song about a woman who can be classified as a whore or identifies as one, who sleeps around a lot, but then she's just like, hey, this is my disclaimer.
Oh, and just let it be known, when I say whore, I mean capital W whore in the best possible way.
Exactly.
It is in no way meant to be a
Ladies who
negative.
get paid for a certain interaction.
Exactly. I didn't know it was illegal. I always thought you got cash for doing that. It's been my experience, you know.
And then watching this as well, like I always picture Sutton Foster as more of like a singer, musical theater person. But man, I forgot that like she's like Thoroughly Modern Millie, which that's a big tap show. And then you watch this and
Oh, she can dance. She
she is
can.
kicking her face. Like that dance break in, okay, so this is the title. It's not an appropriate word anymore these days, but in the dance break in The Gypsy in Me, when they do like a tango or whatever, she like puts her leg on his shoulder with ease. And I'm like, girl.
Well, I said to him at that moment, you don't get to be Sutton Foster without being a serious triple threat. You just don't.
True.
You
No.
know, she is so well known in theater because of that, you know, because of everything she can pull out and do well.
And she is having fun. You can tell.
That part, and I believe I said that to you, Martha, as we were watching it. I love watching a performance where it's obvious that the performers are having a good time.
Right, because like I said, during Friendship, like they're laughing, and I'm pretty sure some of that was for the cameras. There was also a moment in The Gypsy and Me where it looked like she was about to laugh
There were a few moments like
because,
that,
because I want to get his name, Hayden Oakley, who plays Evelyn, which I'm looking at it and I'm like, my grandmother and my aunt are both named Evelyn, and that's how they spell it. But the way that they're emphasizing
Evelyn.
Evelyn. Oh my goodness. So Charles, since this is your first time viewing of it, like, what did you think of it?
I thought it was great. It's one of those shows, like when I think of a quote unquote Broadway musical, capital B, this is the kind of show I think of, where it's like, you know, there's no stakes. There's no like life lessons and deep meanings. We sing, we dance, we do a few jazz hands.
But it's
And
absolutely entertaining.
it's completely entertaining, and you get to see really talented people doing amazing things on stage. That's what I think of when I think of a Broadway musical.
And the, you know, the, this is not an easy question to say, you know, favorite musicals, because my criteria might not be someone else's, you know. Les Mis, love the music, hate the show, dear God. You know, there was a
All of that
great
for
line
toast.
in Jeffrey. Yeah, all of that for toast. Like, it's all over a loaf of bread. But those music, it's part of the genre. But again,
Of course,
I
yeah.
think the music is beautiful. I have suffered through that show no less than three times. And it's a lot.
It is.
Yeah,
It's
it's like,
it's 3 hours of depression. Yeah.
of Shall I Open a Vein?
Right. Right. But then you
And
get this one, which is like a
yeah,
golden age
fun.
musical. It's
Right.
fun. It ends at a wedding where almost everyone gets married.
And at least some of the music, and it's catchy. Like, that's one of the things for me. Either there's songs I didn't know, but I just fall in love with them instantly. Or I was like, oh, wait, I know that one, and I know that one, and I know that, and they're all fun. And, that's Cole
There
Porter
were only a few actually that I
that
didn't
you had
know,
never
because I
heard.
love Cole Porter, especially the more I knew about his story, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because I didn't realize he wrote Friendship, if I'm going to be totally honest. Because I, like, my earliest memories of learning what that song is from I Love Lucy. And so, like,
I'm a
makes
big fan.
sense. Yeah, but like I just remember that scene of her and Ethel like ripping each other's dresses apart because they're fighting off camera for whatever reason. But I didn't realize, I mean, it makes sense it's Cole Porter, but I didn't realize it's one of his songs until it came up in this, and I was like, oh, I do know this song.
Well, like every song before a certain point was written by Cole Porter or Gershwin. That's what you got.
The first musical we went to see in a theater after the pandemic was one I wanted to see based on the strength of one song. And we sat, I don't know, but we sat through the entire, and I went, that's the only decent song in the whole fucking thing. That was it.
We can't curse, right?
It's good. I'm sorry if we can't,
No,
just
you can. No, go.
but
I put the E up on all the episodes, so it's fine.
so do we.
Yeah.
And but I sat through the whole thing and I went, that was this one song.
It was.
It was sad. And I went, ugh. And that's what, with a musical, I want to love the music.
Of course, because that's
And
the whole point.
And there's a
And
few that I've come away with. I'm like, oh, this doesn't really have any memorable tunes. Like, I will die on the hill that there's not a single memorable song in Into the Woods. I said it. I said it,
okay,
and I
you
meant
know
that with a
what?
gasp. I didn't say it's not good. I didn't say I didn't enjoy it. But put a gun to my head and say, sing a song from Into the Woods,
I
I'm
didn't
dead.
like it. I've seen
Okay.
it. It was I was there. Not
Yeah, but
a
then
huge fan.
you get a standard like this one where, I mean, there's some songs that I didn't know. Like the There's No Cure, like Travel. I think that one was just for this one.
Maybe, yeah.
Might have been. Or and that's the thing. Like, if you look at the Wikipedia page, there's actually a chart that will show you the
Yes.
order of the songs in each
In each
iteration.
production, yeah. That's why I was just like, I don't know what we're doing in this one, so we're gonna figure it
Yeah, when
out.
they opened with Fabulous Face, I'm like, that doesn't go there. From the beginning, that doesn't go there. But it worked. It worked. It can be moved around. Who sings the songs can be moved around
Yeah.
based on who you
Right,
got.
because this is just like all slapstick, really.
It is.
And mistaken identities, mostly with Billy, which Billy as a character, I don't know. I didn't really like him, if I'm going to be totally honest.
He was like,
Because,
wussy. Wow.
and
Okay.
like,
For lack of a better word.
and I feel like he's somewhat abusing his friendship with Reno.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh, I fell in love with Hope after sharing a taxi with her," which is another Golden Age musical trope of like the instant love that somebody has. But I don't, there was just something about him that I'm like, "You're just a man."
I take back wussy. Wussy's not the word I want. Clueless.
There we
He's
go.
completely clueless.
Oh, about her feelings. Yeah, I mean,
About
again,
everything.
1934.
He's
clueless about her feelings for him. He's clueless about his chances with the one he
Hope.
wants, with
Hope,
Hope.
yeah.
It's just like, dude.
It's just fun. And then what I also appreciate about at least this production is when they do sing Anything Goes, that they have the entire ensemble tapping. As and I'm gonna I have to call him out. There's a actor, and I'm sorry, I'm probably gonna fuck up his last name, Mark Akinfolarin, who played the he had like feature parts throughout. He played the bishop in the beginning where they thought he was the mobster and they arrested him. He's a bigger actor, like a plus-sized actor, and he is keeping up with all of those.
Oh yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And I was just
Yeah.
sitting there like, I love this. Like, I it's light representation without it being like to the forefront of like, hey, we have a bigger guy in the ensemble. But it's still nice to see like the dancer ensemble, like they kick their faces and everything, but then they incorporate everybody to be like, no, now everyone's tapping.
So, fun fact, a little aside, I love that number. And 150 years ago, when I was a drag queen,
150.
that was
That
one
number
of the
gets bigger
numbers
every time.
that I would do, the Eileen Rodgers version. And I had a sailor dress that was just adorable and fit. I can sway, but because I have a choreographer in my life, I had access to dancers. So he would edit out the sound of tap dancing, and I had real tap dancers come out on stage because we had them. And we had a good time with that number. It was really a lot of fun to interject the actual tap dancing. And I'm Cher in that moment. I'm just kind of back and forth. I can tap my toes a little bit, but it doesn't matter because I have all these beautiful young bodies around me dancing. And it was really a fun number.
That was the number you pulled out when there was a budget.
If I had a budget, I could do that one
Please
and
tell
did.
me,
It's fun.
I'm just imagining you in a sailor gown that is made out of entire sequins.
Oh God, I wish that's what it was.
Ah.
It's a navy blue dress with the white collar and the
Collar,
little
yeah.
tie in front, and yeah, it's a sailor dress.
That sounds amazing.
And I wore it with, 7-inch heels up on stage.
Damn.
So
Yeah, so you're not dancing
so
in
I would
7 inches.
no, but I can. I mean, I can pick them up and put them down, and it looks like I am,
Work.
right? I can kind of swing them a little bit, yeah. And you're
I'm gonna start
watching.
using that when someone asks if I can just I can pick them up and put them
Put
down.
yeah, a little bit. I can, I have
That's mine
rhythm.
now.
I'm just not a dancer, but they are, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, because I love that song, I think it's a fun song, and it's one that you really can act out some of the lines. It's fun.
It's such an explosive number, 'cause I was like, it's either the end of act one or the end of act two. But I mean, technically it's both, but because it's the end of act one, it's that big like, hey, we're getting to intermission, but we're gonna dance our faces off, and I don't know how it fits into the story, but
Well,
it
it's the title of the whole thing.
does. But I mean, like, I don't know what she's trying to say with it besides, just like, hey, let's just have fun and dance, and we're on a
Well, there's a
ship.
few numbers like that where it's just like, this song is here because we need one.
But we could ar argue. If you really kind of pull the song apart a little bit, it's about that kind of early feminism, that sort of started in the 20s. It's about how mores were changing and people were changing, and women had more agency to go get what they wanted,
Which at the time was a lot
when grandmama, whose age is 80, in
Right.
nightclubs is getting matey with gigolos,
Yeah.
anything goes, you
Right.
know,
Yeah. Okay.
because you wouldn't have seen that before. You know what I mean? Like, of that time, I
You
guess.
better know all the words,
Yeah, well,
girl.
I
She
do.
had to know all the words.
But yes,
I'm sitting here like, oh, that is that line, isn't it?
I prided myself in knowing all the words.
There's a lot.
But yeah, it's that kind of a song. It's talking about how things are changing. It's talking about, you know, hey, the world is wide open now, right?
And so are we. Oh, sorry.
Well, right, and it doesn't have to be what it was,
Could it
you know, the button
also
up turned to
be
something.
seen as like a love is love kind of a message as well?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it'd be like, I may not be your type, but you can find your type. Anything
Exactly.
goes.
Exactly.
So I'm a little confused as to like who Reno is. She's a nightclub singer,
A
but
former evangelist
a former
who
evangelist.
is now a nightclub
Oh,
singer.
that
Yeah.
makes Blow Gabriel Blow makes so much more sense. 'Cause I'm like, this is an odd number for a nightclub. But does she know Moonface from just
Yeah.
be a nightclub singer?
I think so, yeah. And
Okay.
she knows who he is.
Because I mean, it seems like she
Yeah.
knows everybody. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. There's a few characters like that. Reno and Irma specifically, where it's just like they know everyone, they're everywhere that everyone is, no one's surprised that they're there. And so it's like, of course she's on stage at this nightclub right now because she's her. Like that's kind of how it
Right.
felt. And I didn't really get it, but I had long since turned off the trying to get it part of my brain. So it's fine.
Yeah, as soon as a few songs that I'm just like, let's just let go. Let go
Yeah.
on
I'm
that God.
just in it for the ride. I mean, you know.
Well, and it's great that this show has such longevity because it is such like a it's a fun show, and as we talked about the music, you know, everybody knows majority of the songs,
Right.
and it's literal like escapist entertainment.
Exactly.
You turn the brain off, you have fun with some pretty costumes and a lot of people kicking their faces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You know.
because like the. I mean, it's one big, at least with this production, it's one big set piece
Oh my
that
God.
doesn't really change a lot. I mean, they do bring in little things here and there to be the rooms and everything or the jail cell, but
But the
like,
bulk of it is that ship.
it's the ship, you know.
Honorable mention to the lighting designer. Oh my God. I always notice this stuff because I'm a lighting designer. Like, you could see the passage of time. You could see, like, you know, it just, oh, it was so good. It was so good.
What did you think of the be like a bluebird then?
Get out of my head, lady. I was about to say, yeah, that
That was
you were the
brilliant.
one, Martha, that was like, oh my God, that's so clever. And I was like, yeah, like the little light just bounces into his hand, and which means big props to whoever was operating that.
It's, I love what can happen in theater, you know,
Yeah.
like that, just that right there, what they did with that light was incredible to
Yeah.
represent the bird.
And the light would go from the stage to inside of his hat. Yeah, just clever and the timing. And it's just, yeah, and so much with so little.
And then
Yeah.
even earlier in friendship with the moving lights or the spotlights of like, hey, no, now to me, no, now to me. Like
Yeah, I love that.
it's just so funny how like they I didn't also realize how like they break the fourth wall a lot with
Yeah.
this show. And I love that they incorporated the conductor as well.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they always do that,
But at least this
but they did
production
in
did,
this one, and it worked. It
and
was
it
fun.
worked. 'Cause
We're supposed to be at sea. What are you looking at them for? We're supposed
I'm
hell,
just smiling at them.
all
Right.
those sailors surrounding Irma are supposed to be into her. We're just in it for the fantasy.
And like Irma just shows up in random spots, and you're like, yeah,
I know
okay.
she's like a Looney Tunes character in that respect.
It's true.
The only thing that I was just like, I this might be like of the period of like 1930s, is like the need of a celebrity on board.
Yeah.
Where for me, I'm just like, we're going on a cruise. Like, I don't care who's on board. I just want to have fun. I've never
And
been on a cruise, but that's my mindset.
right.
I mean, and I'm assuming, but ships were smaller. Generally speaking, you were on them longer because sometimes people were even crossing the ocean, to on a boat. So it was a certain level of cachet, and they do that right there in the beginning, like, well, they've got so and so and so and so. And so it just sets up the story for gangster number one is here on board. No, he's not, but
It's just like
oh.
morbid curiosity of like, oh, he's a gangster and he's public enemy number one, and so he's a celebrity.
Right. Right.
Kind of along the lines of like Bonnie and Clyde,
Right.
where they're murdering people, but they're celebrities,
Yeah, but you know their names.
Right.
And again, it's farcical. It's silliness. It sets up that whole mistaken identity thing. And so we have that payoff in the jail cell where they switch clothes. Like, how are we going to get
Jesus.
out of this one? And that's
And then
how.
Reno standing there with the
That part. Yeah. She's like Bugs Bunny.
this show is very cartoonish, but in like a good way.
I enjoy that. It's not something that I see a lot, but it's a convention that I do enjoy.
Now, it is done differently when it's a high school production. Some of the innuendo is tampered down or eliminated,
Of
but
course.
the show still holds up. And that's why it's a perennial favorite is, you can even sanitize it and keep it fun. And come, dance with the edge, but not go over it as much.
It's always interesting to be like, what musicals? Because like, there's some stand classic musicals that were like that all high schools do, but you're like, but should you do it? But I feel it, like Grease is one that I'm still on the edge of
Are
like,
we
I
the
don't.
same person? Because we keep having the
Charles,
same thought at the same time.
not a fan. Not a fan at all, are you? I
I
the
don't
my
like
Grease.
I do like Grease as a show, but I don't think like
It's a horrible message.
it's a horrible message, and I don't think like the like children should be doing it.
That part.
But again, because my son did Grease one year. And well, my son is a musician, so he was always in the pit. They did Tommy because they could, because he was just that good of a guitar player that, they had somebody who could carry that music, Pinball Wizard and all of it. And it was fabulous. And that's what these high schools anyway, would do. And they had to change lyrics, about creaming and all this other stuff. Like they really did go word line for line.
What they switched cream with scream, I think
Make
is
her
what they
scream.
did. Is only marginally
But it's not cream. It doesn't,
better.
it's not the same visual
The bar is in
in
hell.
15-year-old boys' heads. Make her scream, I think, is what they changed it to.
I feel like this is
Hairspray is another one.
that, yeah. But
I love Hairspray.
this show, I think, is even with the innuendo in it, it's so vague
Right.
that
And
I
it's
think,
playful.
yeah, you can get away with it. Especially, all of it is Irma's doing, right?
Pretty
And
much.
every
And Reno, a little bit of Reno.
and a little bit of Reno,
But
but a
more
lot of it
Irma.
is Irma's lines and everything that may need to be like altered. But I feel like I don't think a lot of
I
schools
don't
do
remember that
this.
character in the high school version. I don't remember the character. I'm going to say if there was an Irma, changed a lot.
I was reading that they did change her name at some point. Originally, it was named Bonnie, the character, and then they switched it to Irma. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe there was. But again, they probably would have.
Irma's more evocative of the time, I think. Maybe.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
mean, whether
Bonnie
that was the
doesn't.
reason.
Well, Bonnie sounds a little too close to Bonnie and Clyde. I guess maybe that's why they changed
Yeah,
it.
maybe.
Because she is supposed to be like a gangster's girl.
A
Um,
mall.
a
Is
mall.
that the
Yeah.
word mall?
A
Okay, yeah.
mall.
Yeah.
Where my recollection, my viewpoint of Irma, at least in this production, because again, they've changed the script, the book, so many times that who knows what it was originally at this point. I think, at least in this production, Irma is just like the third of her, Moonface, and that other guy that Billy pretends to be, the public enemy number one guy. And she's involved in all the crime sprees and everything. However, they had to leave that guy at the station at the port when they left. So it's just the two of them on the boat. And then Billy has to assume the identity of that third person for like the briefest of moments.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. You could almost get rid of his character and nothing changes.
It's fun.
Billy himself, you mean, or
No,
the
Billy is a
gangster?
central character.
Eh.
Billy is a
Oh.
central character because it's the tension of, and the swapping of it all. Let's not,
I mean, yeah.
you've got couples coming on board and then they swap partners and then they wind up marrying not who they arrived with.
Yeah, I guess.
It's
When I think about
fun.
the whole show, I'm just thinking about Irma and Reno anyway, so maybe that's why I'm like, yeah, you don't need him.
True. Like the women in this show are fantastic. I kind of wish the mom had a song, like, or more singing. Just so we could be like, because as you're saying, Martha, like, this is a little bit of like the post-20s feminist start of like, claiming their own, claiming their identity and importance in everything. And the mom, like, yeah, she's kind of a gold digger, but I mean, so is Irma. So we could. So
Oh,
she.
yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So if anybody out there
Differently,
is
though, because
listening,
she's out for a good time. Irma.
Irma, yeah. Well, I mean, little presence here and there might be, because that's what I got from Buddy Beware, is like she wants things, but
And
she
she wants
wants,
Hope to have things
and she wants Hope to have, and yeah,
that
the
she's
mother
only going to
wants
get.
Hope to have things and
Yeah, by
everything.
marrying this dude, she thinks.
Yeah. Well, and she keeps talking about how they're in debt, and I don't get how that works, but hey, you know what? At the end, she marries the Yale guy
Yeah, who's rich?
who's
Who
rich.
stays rich because Billy didn't do the stock selling he was supposed to do, and turns out this guy made all kinds of money,
Right.
and he would have been ruined otherwise. So it worked out.
Failing upwards.
And yeah.
Failing up. You gotta love the deus ex machina of golden age musicals where they're just like, we need a happy ending and we have to end the show now. So everyone's happy, everyone's married. The end. The stock market worked out in your favor. Yay! Dance.
Exactly.
And it kind of, I mean, you have Reno pining for Billy, who
For
doesn't have
whatever
any,
reason.
and, but she winds up with this person of, royal whatever, with some money, and a title and all that. So
I loved
a
that
win for
character.
her. The one thing you don't really get is what the hell is she so interested in with him?
That
Because he's like,
part.
what does she
With
actually see something in him? Because what's there?
Evelyn?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's not like he's this awesome character, because he's kind of played like that dud that Hope is being forced to marry. He's kind of a boring Brit, if you will.
I just loved the character because
Okay.
I was well, because he's so funny. He's got
Yeah.
that little dictionary he's writing of
I
like
love
American
that. That
terms.
was fun. Yes.
So and there, yeah, I can see what you're talking about. Where I don't know why Reno falls in love with him. Maybe it's during the song that they have together that he woos
Maybe.
her a little bit. I mean, that
Maybe.
tango starts hilarious, but then they have like serious dance moments, but then also goofing around, it felt like in this choreography. And it was just so well done. And I'm like, I just love it. I love dance. Let's keep dancing,
That
everybody.
Yeah.
choreography was really good. They were not playing a
It
round.
was, it,
No.
and that's a show that lends itself to so much
Yeah.
movement on
Yeah.
the
And
whole stage, which is another thing I love about a good musical.
Kathleen Marshall also choreographed it. So, you know, she's a, I'm looking at her Wikipedia right now. She's like a director choreographer doing, she did the 2002 West End Kiss Me Kate as a choreographer. She did Wonderful Town in 2004. You know, Anything Goes, Pajama Game, Nice Work If You Can Get It. So, like, she's doing all
Okay.
of these bigger shows where they're dance heavy shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just need the right cast. And I think this had the right cast of people who may, because when at the end, when everybody's dancing, right? There's some people that I'm like, I didn't see you dance at all this show,
Right.
but you're still like keeping up, or they placed people, you know, around the stage perfectly to maybe hide some of their inabilities, if you
Right.
will.
Right. When you're supposed to look at them, they're doing something that looks good on them.
Yeah,
Otherwise, they're just there.
the one thing I kind of, it's kind of hard when it's a pro shot like this, is like, I want to see the stage. I just want to see all the dancing
Right.
happening.
Yeah.
And there's some shots where they're focusing on like the leads of the song, but I'm like, but you have the ensemble dancing as well, and I want to just
Right.
see
You're
everything.
talking about when the main couple is on the floor, but then up on the different levels, there are people who are doing the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I had the same thought.
Yeah, and but I get it, 'cause they're trying to like show, they're making like a film version of the show, and they're trying
Right.
to sell tickets and everything, and people want to see these names dancing. But me, I'm like, just show the whole set. Show everybody
Right.
dancing at this point.
Right, 'cause the if the audience is there, they get to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
That now, and this is, we've had this conversation. I'm often alone in this, but I love see when a stage production is filmed
Oh, yeah.
as a stage production.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, because to me, when we, you know, when you take it's the medium. You know, the medium of theater is character driven and actor driven, and you have so much less to work with than film, which is a whole nother thing. And every time I see a film adaptation,
Jack
like
Day in the Heights.
In the Heights, is perfect
Okay.
example. It's a cacophony when you start, you know, adding place and things, and to, and that's not how the musical works at all. And now you've got too much.
But
So I
sometimes it
think
does
that's
work.
where. Oh, I'm willing to be. I'm willing to be told.
Chicago. Because they, because that one had a strong concept. They were reintroducing the musical genre to the 21st century. And like, they made a strong argument that the music is in Roxy's head.
You
So,
know what? I think because Chicago worked so well, that's why they think they can keep doing it to other shows, and it, I haven't seen it work as well. And it, you like, I think also like Little Shop, that worked really well.
yeah.
But
For me, In the Heights did not.
I understand what you're saying about In the Heights. I say this particular film
Jeffrey did not.
was made Like it was made to be seen on the big screen as a cinematic
Oh, 100%,
musical.
yeah. And there is a
But
movie version of Anything Goes. That's why when we were talking about this, I was like, "What? Which one are we doing?" There's so many.
I don't remember it being good.
Well,
I
but
haven't,
it's
I
got,
obviously
I haven't seen it yet,
seen it
so.
in years, and I just don't remember it being good.
But I do agree
Because
that
Kathy said, please
sometimes
don't watch the movie. We said, we're not.
sometimes when you do make a movie of a musical and you expand it out to the medium of film, it doesn't work. Like for instance, and I'm out here on this limb with you, Martha, and I think we might be the two.
Okay.
A Color Purple as a movie of the musical is horrible.
I thought so.
I said it.
Yeah, we when
I
I
did.
did it, I watched the original movie and read the book and watched the musical movie. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm gonna go in guns a blazing.
Wow, okay.
And there was a lot I was missing from the musical movie, which, yes, it happens because obviously sometimes they're cutting songs for time
Right.
because musicals are about 2.5 hours and films, like, you don't want it to be that long.
Right.
But yeah, modern musical movies can be a little tough. But for this one, this isn't like, this is just them being like, this is the stage version, and we know you missed it on
Right.
Broadway or in the West End, but hey, now you can purchase it and own it or
Right.
go in
Right.
this streaming service and watch it, you know. So it's smart in a way because it's making theater accessible
That's
to
why
everyone.
Hamilton is
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yeah,
So Hamilton.
that's what I was waiting to say.
But
Perfect.
again, in Hamilton as well, they do a lot of close-ups and I'm like, but I want to see the whole thing.
They
True.
do. But
But
they do.
there is a couple of things, even in this one too, where I'm just like, you know what? That was a pretty cool shot that you did, or you were able to like focus
Right.
in at the right moment. Because like in Friendship in this one, when it's just the two of them on stage and they're like so close, I don't want to see the whole set. I want to see the
Right.
close up.
Right.
So it's you know, I'm a messy human that contradicts myself all the time,
Fair enough.
especially when it comes to pro shots like this. But I'm glad that it's done. Sutton Foster is a gem of a
Yes.
human.
Yes. Yeah.
And oh my God, Patty played Reno. Oh, right. Patty played Reno.
Patty did.
That makes sense.
Patty
Yeah.
did.
Yeah. Sutton Foster played Reno twice. She did it
Right.
in
She won a Tony
2011.
and won a Tony.
Yes. Yeah. There, this one, so this, I'm looking. It didn't. I think. And I don't know when the Tony started, but I believe that the original production happened before the Tony Awards were a thing. So I'm looking at
Oh,
like
right.
not all only revivals are nominated. And in the 2011 production that Sutton Foster was in, yes, she won. It also won Best Revival. And Kathleen Marshall was the director choreographer for that one. And she won choreography, the Tony Award for that. So it's just obvious. And she won it again. She won the Olivier in 2022 for this production. So it's
Right.
like something's right here.
I think the actor that played Irma, I think she also won the Olivier Award for this. I think.
No, she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress in a Role.
Oh, nominated. Okay.
Nominated.
I
And
knew I saw it with her name.
Sutton was nominated. And Robert Lindsay, who played Moonface, and Gary Wilmont, who played Hold Please, who played Eli. He was nominated for Featured Actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, FYI, the first Tony Awards was held on April 6th, 1947,
Yeah, so
at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City.
yeah,
Yeah.
post-war.
Yeah, so this was the first production, the premiere was in 34, so 12, 13 years
Right.
before.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
obviously they couldn't. But I feel like Ethel Merman would have won
Probably.
if
Probably.
I mean, the
If
revivals, see, now I'm looking it
loudest
up.
actor in a musical.
The 87 Broadway revival won Best Revival, Best Choreography, Outstanding Revival of a Musical. Actually, Patti LuPone won Outstanding
Who
Actress
did
in a
the choreography
Musical.
in that one?
Michael
Smuin? Smuin?
Smune.
No idea.
I don't either, but also won.
But good for him.
Yeah, and then the 2011 Best Revival of a Musical, again it won, and Sutton Foster got Best Performance by a Leading Actress in a Musical, and Kathleen Marshall won for Best Choreography.
I can see why it continues to win Best
Also,
Revival.
Outstanding Revival of a Musical, by the way.
Right, because it is as fluffy, for lack of a better word, like you can just put all the your effort into making it as splashy and flashy as you
Beautiful
want.
and beautiful,
Right.
beautiful
And
costuming.
right, everything, like I said, that a perfect Broadway musical is, you can focus on, and when you do it, it looks great, and you walk away feeling like wonderful and elated, and that was so much fun, and the performances were so great. So
Right.
I get it. I get it.
And how many musicals have you like watched The Bridge that doesn't belong there? It's like, what the hell do they have a second floor for? And it never quite makes sense. Like, why is there a balcony in this room?
Right.
Maybe it's me. But this is a ship. So it's a ship deck. You know, it's the decks of a ship. It just makes
Oh,
sense.
I see what you mean. So,
And it's
because.
a perfect opportunity for the choreographer to keep that whole stage moving.
Right. And play with levels. And
Uh-huh.
this way, for your light, for the lighting designer as well, they can light different things as well. And but is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No.
Okay.
Nothing comes to mind.
No, I don't. I think we, yeah, I think we, it's a fun show. It's just one of my favorites because it's fun and I love Cole Porter. And, you know, I have,
I mean, I
I don't
think
know.
you have to hate music if you don't like Cole Porter at this point.
True, true. But I just have great affection for the show because it is entertainment. It's what, you know, it is that kind of old school musical that just you can't help but be entertained and smile and, you know, tap your toe and sing along to something within the musical. And it's got all the pieces.
It gives you all everything you need. It checks all the boxes. It hits
Yeah.
all the notes, as it were.
Right. And I don't want to open a vein.
All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Do it.
Sharp flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat.
Okay.
Play on words, right?
Got it. Sharp and flat. I
So,
love it.
I do have some flats, but let's start there and then we can end on a high note.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first? This way you can.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so my first flat is for the modern references and language in this. Like they mentioned Machine Gun Kelly at one point, and I'm like, I mean, I get it because it sounds like a gangster name, but I'm just sitting here like, that's too modern for me. Like I'm coming into this period piece, and you're telling and you're having some modern lingo thrown in, and I was just like, keep it out. I don't want to hear 21st century stuff coming out of your mouths right now.
What do you want them to call it? A Tommy gun?
No, so Machine Gun Kelly is a rapper,
Right.
and they were saying like in terms of like I think it was in a name like the list of like celebrities being used.
See, I didn't know that. Because there
Because
was a Machine Gun
yeah,
Kelly.
there was a Machine Gun Kelly who was a gangster and
Oh, see, okay.
yeah,
So
the
this might be
rapper
then
stole that.
me. That might just be me then being like, oh, I'm putting my modern sensibility on it. Never mind then. I take that My
back.
mind did go there. It's like, oh,
That it
okay.
was,
But
it
that was
wasn't.
basically me having another reason to roll my eyes at Machine Gun Kelly because he pulled my focus when I was trying to watch this musical.
Although that always is a flat for me when, you know, like we insert modern music into a real period piece, and that's obvious, especially if it's, you know, popular music that we're familiar with. It's for
Unless
me.
that's the concept of the show, which,
Right. Well, right.
you go into it knowing, like, I'm going into a jukebox musical that is Romeo and
Right.
Juliet. Right.
That's different.
That's
Right. What
different,
am I
but
thinking? I can't think of an example right now. So
but
no,
I know
ignore
what
me.
you mean, where you're just like, wait, why are the pilgrims talking about, drugs, the party
Right.
drugs or something?
Yeah,
I don't know.
right.
Like, just what? Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who did it. It was a television show that did it, and they would insert like the
Bridgerton.
was it Bridgerton, and the score was from
Bridgerton did do it.
popular music, but we're supposed to be back at this time.
Well, my whole thing was that horrible Cinderella that where Billy Porter was the fairy godmother, and that's why I watched it. And I couldn't even get to Billy Porter because once the prince was singing Queen's Somebody to Love, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
That
So anyway,
movie, but that movie is just so campy that you're just that
we
again, you
digress
have
a lot.
yeah. What? We're
Not cool.
podcasters, very
I
funny.
know, exactly.
Okay, so I do want to flat Billy because I,
Thank you.
yeah.
That
I
was
just
mine
did.
too.
There was a. It was weird, and he's playing with people's emotions and everything.
Yeah.
I want to flat Eli's personality just revolving around Yale, just
Oh
because
my
like,
God.
we all know that this type of person that it's like you graduated college 25 years ago, and you're still like, I'm a Yale man, like or whatever, you're like, get a new
That
personality.
part. You didn't even go to class. No one there remembers you. Call me your ass.
And then, well, so I wrote this before like the reveal happened, but I'm also flatting that they threw the dog overboard. But like the joke is they threw him in the pool. But at the time when I wrote that, I was like, you threw the dog overboard? How dare you?
Right. That's what it, right. But he was
It's
actually in the pool.
in the pool.
Why was
What
he
was
in
in
the
the pool?
pool? Right.
Dog paddle.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a fluff piece. It's pretty standard. Do you either of you have any other flats that you want to mention? It could be
I
anything,
mean,
really.
Billy was my main one.
I'm thinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
And
There
it's okay
wasn't
if you don't have any either.
anything. Yeah, there wasn't anything really that I was like, ugh.
Yeah, because although besides Billy, like Eli's personality and throwing the dog, but that Eli's personality is just so I guess we the audience remember who he is because there's so many characters in this that I'm just like, I don't know, who are you right now?
Right.
But then and then like throwing the dog, that turns out to be a joke that they threw the dog in the pool instead of overboard. So it's
Right.
fine. But yeah, it's a pretty solid show, I'm gonna say.
I guess my flat would be Hope's mom.
Okay.
Why?
Is that whole thing of like, I'm gonna marry my daughter off so that my life will be better?
Oh,
But
yeah.
again, let's put it in context of the time and what else did she have, unless she married, what else,
I
she
know.
couldn't own property.
I know.
Just
It just
saying.
rubbed Charles the wrong way.
I
How's
hear
that?
you.
As a conceit, I
Okay.
yeah.
All right.
And this is just, and we're just having fun, conjecturing.
Right.
Martha, do you have any flats for this? It's
Not
okay
that
if you
I'm,
don't.
yeah, I'm not thinking of any. I'm
Okay.
trying. Yeah.
Then let's get into sharps then. Charles, you said you're a lighting person. I'm actually a costume person. So I sharp the costumes first and foremost because
Oh,
they were
yeah. Great costumes.
gorgeous. Reno's like gold, first gold dress. All of her looks were fantastic. And like even her backup singers or whatever they were, her posse, like when they were on board and they
Yes,
were all wearing
they were
different.
fierce.
Yes.
They were so good.
I'm gonna sharp the songs because I mean Cole Porter, obviously.
Right.
Okay, so this is specific to this production. I'm sharping Reno posed on the luggage cart. When
Yes.
that happened, it was just fun, campy, and then at the end of that number, she tries to push the luggage cart off, and she can't. It
Right.
was just so funny. Sharp to Irma and Moonface, just because they were just
Okay.
hilarious
Yeah.
throughout.
Yeah.
Sharp to the choreography.
Yes.
I'm gonna sharp breaking the fourth wall because it's always
Yes.
whenever because this did it right.
Yeah.
We've seen it done wrong, but we see it done right as well, and this was right. And then I want to sharp just the following performances: Friendship, Anything Goes, and Blow Gabriel Blow. Like the everything about it was perfection, a perfect storm of having fun and giving snaps to me.
Yes.
Now,
Yeah.
did you? I wondered. Did you expect the reveal, the costume reveal? Did you see that coming? Because I knew it was coming.
100%, I knew it was
Oh,
coming.
yeah.
High schools don't do that. They just sing the song. But did you
Oh.
know?
Like, there's no way she's keeping that on for the entire number.
No. And that's the thing where it goes from we're going to have this revival to I'm a nightclub performer, you know, like right.
Yeah.
And the flames. I mean, again, costume choice, the whole thing,
The
perfect.
fringe of it, and like they're all, it's the same look, but at least Reno is like a little different than the other girls.
Yes,
Oh
I
yeah, well,
needed
like
that
the
too.
preacher in white, like the yeah, the
Well, no, I meant like
evangelist.
the fringe
And then, yeah.
reveal, yeah, where hers I think is one, I think it was the her backup singers, you had like black fringe involved and she didn't. She only had like red and golds.
Maybe,
Right.
maybe.
Something along those lines, but it was just like slightly different, but different enough to be like, this is the lead and these are her backup
And they're all the
singers.
flames of hell.
Yes.
We go from, you know. And it's a great number. It's a great number.
It's a fantastic number. Charles, what were your sharps?
The choreography, I
Yeah,
know.
the choreography was fantastic. The lighting design was fantastic.
The
Going back
blue
to
bird.
the bluebird, yeah, the bluebird is especially, that was very, very clever. Going back to costumes, sharp to Irma's wig.
Yeah.
Okay.
That hair was herring.
She I mean, all their wigs were fantastic in this.
Yeah.
Sharp to colorblind casting too.
I enjoyed
Yes.
that. And I want to know with Irma, like, because there was like this charming little hint of a lisp. And I want to know, like, it wouldn't surprise me if that was like the actor, but it also wouldn't surprise me if that was a little thing she gave the character. Like, it was just the tiniest little bit. I just loved it. It was just so cute.
Well, she was doing, I mean, she's a British actress doing a deep American accent, so.
So that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be a little extra she put on the
Yeah.
character. Sharp to her final pose in Buddy Beware, like up in the air. I loved that. Sharp to Eli's impeccable Nathan Lane impersonation.
He kept
Yeah,
saying he sounds just like Nathan Lane, and I went, "Oh my God, he does."
you close your eyes
He does.
and there it
Yeah.
is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I grew up watching Gilmore Girls as well. So when he kept singing the Bulldog song, I was just like, "Oh, I guess the Yale theme song hasn't changed
Right. Like, why
ever."
would it?
Why? You're right.
They tend not to.
Right.
The Ivies are very big on tradition.
Yes, they want to keep everything the way it was and it was founded, which is why I roll my eyes so hard. I'm sorry.
I'm just looking up, by the way, Carly Mercedes Dyer, the one that she played Irma. As recently, she was in a production in Manchester of Singin' in the Rain playing Kathy Seldon. So, like,
Work.
get it.
Okay. I
And
love
she
that for her.
was in a production of A Chorus Line as Cassie.
Yes.
And this is like after Anything Goes.
I
She was
saw that because I was saying to Martha, I was like, oh, she can dance then if she's playing Cassie. Because I was saying, like, Chorus Line, I look at Chorus Line the same way I look at Dream Girls. The first thing I do is look in the program, see who's playing Cassie in a Chorus Line, who's playing Effie in Dream Girls, because that's how you know, oh, this is the most talented person in this cast.
Yes. And in this one, obviously, it's who's playing Reno Sweeney.
Right. Well, that's
Yeah.
the thing. Everyone was so amazingly talented. Like, even the smaller roles, they do something where you're like, oh, you ain't bullshitting either. Okay,
Yeah.
cool.
And the fact that I don't know who was British and who was American in this is really telling of this production, because I've done a bunch of stage productions. I've covered a bunch of stage productions done in the West End where there's always like one actor or there's like one thing that you're like, I can hear your accent coming through. Like your regular accent coming through your American accent. But this one I couldn't tell, which is always a
I'd
good thing.
forgotten. I completely forgot until I was looking people up Like, how come I don't know who that is? Oh, because you primarily perform in across the pond. Oh, right, London.
My accents can be tricky, but you are right. I didn't.
I couldn't clock.
Well,
No.
apparently, it is so much easier for Brits to do an American accent than the other way. And
And
that,
Australians were learning.
right. I
Yeah.
find that fascinating because you'd think it would be equally difficult.
It can also depend on the person.
I think they're so used to mocking us anyway that it just sort of flows.
You're
You
right. You're right,
might be
Martha.
right.
You're right.
I think that's it.
Do you have any more sharps?
I mean,
Or Martha, do you have any sharps?
yeah,
Well,
but what are yours? Because everything from
well,
that family.
I mean, Sutton Foster did a brilliant job
Yeah.
with Reno Sweeney. There's no notes there. Truly, wrung everything out of that character. And, yeah, the interplay with her and Moonface, that was brilliant. And he was terrific. He made that character so memorable. Just his expressions and his, he's gangster number 13. He's,
Right.
13th most wanted is part of the whole thing. He's not even a big time gangster, but he wants to be.
Am I the only one who felt like Harvey Keitel vibes off of him, like in the best
I
way?
think that was you. I did not.
I didn't get Keitel. I was getting like he was trying to emulate like De Niro. I think he was trying to be like that type of like the De Niro's type of mobster gangster.
Right.
Oh God, no.
You know what? Because like visually, he like to me looked just a bit like Harvey Keitel, and I think because of the De Niro, I think that's what pushed it over the edge. Like the
Yeah.
two things.
He reminded me very much of an actor whose name is escaping me right now.
What was he in?
I can see him, I can picture him, I can hear him in my head, and that's who this guy reminded me.
But not the thing that he was in
Sometime
for me.
tomorrow, it's going to
Right.
pop right in.
I expect an email
Right.
then.
Absolutely. I believe he is British.
Tim Roth.
No.
Oh, damn.
No,
Okay.
older than Tim Roth.
I got nothing.
Before. God. And he was in Talk Amongst Yourselves. Did he
Okay.
do The Birdcage ever?
The
Or La
movie?
Cage aux Folles. No, La Cage aux Folles. I'm trying to remember what did the one I'm thinking of. Oh my God.
Me no no.
I can see him.
Chow.
And you may very well not know who I'm talking about.
That would be funny if after all
Right.
that you end up being like,
But
I don't know who that is.
he is famous.
Is this
British
gonna
actor.
bother you?
It's gonna. Are
The
you
name that comes to
Googling?
mind is somebody who he this actor does not look like, and that's Bob Hoskins.
No, not him.
Oh.
And not a comedy actor per se, but he has done
You're going to Google British actor in that thing, aren't
Albert
you?
Finney. That's who I'm thinking. Albert Finney.
Oh, yeah.
That is who he
Okay.
reminded me of with his facial expressions and Albert Finney.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
That was going to bother me
It's not
all.
that it's like a one to one that they look
No.
alike, but I can see what you're talking about with, yeah.
I'm glad John knows who that is.
Daddy Warbucks.
You do. You know.
So I asked this with everybody, would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? And when I mean that, I mean like, would you listen to any of this music outside of
We do.
watching? Yeah, I put Friendship, It's Still Lovely, Anything
See.
Goes, Blow Gabriel Blow, and Buddy Beware. You know. But
Anything goes.
I'm pretty sure I listened to this whole cast album, if
Right. I
given.
believe I have the whole cast album in my
We were just listening to it
library.
randomly in the car, like before we were even doing the show.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna ask this then specifically to Martha.
Yeah, look, I have the whole album right there.
You do.
Which
There's these.
album would you listen to more, this one or the 62 Eileen Rodgers one? Like, which one would you go for first, I should say.
To see probably the 62, because it's just so familiar to me.
Okay.
You
Yeah.
know, like what I listen for and what I know, and I've performed to these, you know, these numbers. So probably that one. But I wouldn't be opposed to an album of that. It was that good.
Yeah.
It was that good.
Sutton Foster is amazing, as we keep
Yeah.
saying.
Eileen Rodgers was too. She's kind of a blend of the two. I mean, because if there's one criticism of Sutton Foster as a performer, it's that her voice is thinner than some.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, it's Ethel Merman who originated, and
Right. And
she's got
Eileen
that.
Rodgers kind of has that, but not quite so Ethel Merman.
Yes.
Not, not.
I'm understanding without even knowing who how this person
But Pat, and
is.
Hal Linden was part of the
Oh,
cast.
right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
So.
I mean, we don't need to be Ethel Merman anymore because now we got mics and shit.
No, we do. Right. That is true.
You're right. But hey, it's still good to be able to fill this theater with your voice without relying on mics because, you know, power
Right.
goes out sometimes.
It
It's
does.
true.
It does. My first review ever on stage was that I probably gave the most heartfelt performance in the show. And it was such a shame you couldn't hear a word I said.
Oh,
And I
damn.
went, oh, that's not going to happen twice.
Oof. And
so
then
it
you
didn't.
proceeded to kill that
Kind of. Oh. Who did he
reviewer.
write for? The Princeton paper. And I was like, God damn it. The Princeton Review or something, I think.
That's just rude. That
is rude.
Fortunately, we were reviewed twice because that wasn't even, I want to say that was a rehearsal, first of all. So I could say I was trying to save my voice, but you know, it's not, that was my first, I was a lead and it was my first lead role. And non-mic'd stage, so I just hadn't gotten, I guess, the nuances of projection. I sure as hell did, and you heard every word I said after
Well,
that.
on that note, I think I'm
Everyone.
gonna call it. I think we did it. We did the 2021 version of Anything
Awesome.
Goes. Woo!
I did. Wee-hee.
What
This
do you
was
have?
fun.
Yeah, I like to have fun. You know, keep it loose. Talk about our thoughts and opinions on things. Work through some stuff. But what do you have to plug or promote?
Well, there is, of course, our podcast, Full Circle the Podcast, that Martha and I promote, that Martha and I co-host
And co-produce and co-
and can you like give a brief description as to what you talk about on Full Circle?
Sure. He said brief, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We moved to New Jersey during the pandemic, and Charles had been trying like hell to put a podcast together with different friends, and it just kept falling through. And what occurred to me was within our lives, we live intersectionally. You know, just our backgrounds are different. You know, Charles is a black queer man. I am a white trans woman. I also queer. And we have always had conversations about the news or, you know, hey, I just read this article and I don't know what to do with this. You know, what's your take on it? That back and forth is just a part of, it's a natural part of our relationship. And I said, I live here. If we just did this in front of microphones, there might be something there because I find us interesting. So that was really the original premise of the show. And we still do that. You know, we still look at the news, the queer-centric news, a lot of it trans-related, just because that keeps on escalating. But we do. We talk about race. We don't shy away from topics and you know where they hit us in our life together. It's fun.
It is
We have
fun.
fun. We've had some really great guests. We added guests kind of right away. It wasn't part of the plan, but I want someone call, said, "Would you like to interview Bruce Vilanch? You've got a cool podcast." And I went, "Yes, I,
No, I'm
yeah,
offended you asked.
right." And I was like, "We can't afford that." And he's like, "No. He's not charging you. Would you like to talk to the man?"
And you're
And I'm
like,
like,
yeah, great. Free
"Very
a
much."
free
We were
interview?
like,
Awesome.
maybe 10 episodes
Yeah.
in at this point when so
That's
Oh,
right.
amazing.
And so what that PR person and all of the others we've worked with over the years figured out is we research everything we talk about when we have a guest. We don't go in cold. If we are gonna talk to an author, we've read the book.
Of course.
You know, not the cliff notes, not the highlights. We've
No.
read the book and we know where we're going with that.
Right. And so we like spotlight prominent queer voices, be they authors or comedians or actors or politicians. And that's also been our thing. Like I interviewed Christopher Rice about his new series of gay erotic novels, and he seemed legitimately surprised that I'd actually read the book and was able to talk to him about it.
Yes. Like,
You're like,
really, you read
girl,
this? Yes.
what'd you expect me to be like? So tell me about this book that I haven't read before.
I think he's
But
just used
people
to
do
people
that.
squeeing about the fact that they're talking to Christopher
The,
Rice.
right. Your mother was Anne. Yeah,
Right.
yes. And
And that's not what we're here for.
right.
Exactly.
Right. And but people get a lot of that. You know, it really actually I find it fascinating when we end an interview and somebody will say, either that's the best interview I've ever had, or you were more prepared than anyone I've talked to, and I've talked to a hell of a lot of people. And I'm like, wow, thank you. That's
Meanwhile,
great.
I can't pronounce names. Like
Well, I suck at pronouncing names. I do.
this is why I'm a wonderful producer and editor, because I'll pause and be like, all right, now say it again and say it like this.
Oh no. We get it's one take and done over here at
Good for you. Good for you.
I wish our life would be so quicker
Charles can't.
if I didn't have
Can't
to
do
edit
it.
our show.
That's fine. We all have our own ways. As I like to tell people, there's no like one way to podcast.
Right.
Everyone's different. Like
Exactly.
I'm sure you've been guests and they haven't created outlines like the ones that I gave you, or
Correct.
which
Or
I've.
they've overmanaged the whole process.
Yeah. So, and we're having fun on here. We're just
Well,
conversing.
you saw when I responded to when you sent the outline, I was like, look at you being all organized. I was impressed.
Thank you.
Right.
I learned a thing or two in this
Yeah, that was
process.
because, you know, either you get none of that or too much of that.
Yeah.
It was just the right amount of that.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
And if you, the listener, want to talk more about Anything Goes, or if you're Sutton Foster listening to this, thank you.
No kidding.
You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube at buttersongpod. Oh, what are your socials? Like, by the way,
Oh,
we talked
God.
about you mentioned the name of the podcast, but what is the podcast socials?
So we are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Discord. The best way to get to all that is to go to our website, fullcirclethepod.com, and all of
Okay.
our socials are there, because based on when we came along to whichever social, it's like this one's Full Circle Pod, this one's Full Circle the Pod, this one's Full Circle the Podcast. So just go to fullcirclethepod.com.
Right, it's like full circle underscore podcast at some point,
That
right?
part,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
And we're finally at a point where if you Google, if you get to full circle the, we come up first at this point, I
Okay.
think.
Right.
It took a while
So
because.
say the website one more time.
Fullcirclethepod.com.
Okay. Just so future me, whenever I edit this and I upload it and everything, I know what to put in the show notes.
Awesome.
And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we'll be discussing something completely different, and we'll be talking about the film Yolanda and the Thief.
Ooh.
I've heard that name.
I don't
So have
know
I, but I haven't watched it yet
what
because we haven't recorded that episode yet.
that is.
Charles and Martha, thank you so much for finally, we figured it out. We got it together. I
We
hope you come
did.
back and we'll do
We'd love
another
to.
episode.
I would love to.
And everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.